in the face after his daughter said she touched him in an inappropriate way. School officials reviewed a videotape then. The aide, it ends up, was on the other side of the school when the touching supposedly happened. The girl then admitted she made it all up. Now Swofford may have to serve detention in an adult detention facility. He's charged with a felony. More news at USARadio.com. I'm LP Phillips, USA Radio Network News.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talkstar Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Yourmorning.com.
Thank you for listening to the Talkstar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the Talkstar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkstarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkstarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. And a particular welcome to the folks at KLSD San Diego who have chosen the Inside Scoop as the number one talk show during this time right here on Sunday afternoons. I hope you'll listen in and find out what it's all about. Tell your friends. There's a lot to talk about this week on the Sunday Weekly Review. We have, of course, coming up right here in Washington, the vote on Samuel Alito, whether he should be a Supreme Court nominee, and the question of whether the Democrats will filibuster that vote, and whether the Republicans will break the Senate rules to do what constitutes the nuclear option. And why is it that the press has already determined that the Democrats are going to lose? They don't have 60 votes for Alito, at least not 60 recorded votes. Why is the press already determined that Alito is going to be nominated? He may well be, but doesn't the fact that they've announced that he's going to be successful before the Democrats have even determined whether to filibuster or not seem to put the cart before the horse? I want to talk about that, as well as the Abramoff scandal and the president's amazing ways to try to duck and weave and hide from this scandal, including not allowing the many, many photographs of himself and Abramoff to come out in the press. Now, it's amazing that the president seems to understand that his people, the people who support him, are truly ignorant fools, because he thinks that the fact that we had, for example, in the last year, we had Abramoff paying 200 visits to the White House or White House staff. That's more than one a day, folks. That's more than one every 2 days. So that's basically every other day. That somehow they're going to believe Bush saying he doesn't know the man if he doesn't disclose the pictures. Well, I'm sure some will come out. And it's amazing to me how the president can try to hide the ball like that. Just as he's hiding the ball, of course, on the ongoing question of eavesdropping. It came out this week, the smoking gun, that the president, or at least the people who run the president, knew he was breaking the law. Because the president and his staff tried to put this matter into law, into an act called Patriot Act 2. I remember that, in fact, because I was working in Congress as a lawyer to the House Judiciary Committee at the time. And I remember Patriot Act 2, which would have allowed the president to better spy on American citizens. It was rejected out of hand. So the president decided if he can't do it legally, he's just going to do it illegally, and I'll give you the details of that later on in the hour. I also want to talk about the Ford layoffs and why it is that all of this has a connection with foreign oil. It seems that Ford believed that we should keep making those gas-guzzling SUVs, and when the price of gasoline went up and people stopped buying SUVs, who loses out but Ford's workers. But the main thing I want to talk about today, and this may surprise some of you folks who think I'm a mouthpiece for one side or the other, really I just give my own views, I want to talk about the Palestinian elections. They're very interesting that they voted for Hamas. I can't say I'm surprised. All those people that argued all this time that the Palestinians really want peace, they really want coexistence with Israel, well, now they've shown, in fact, that they don't. They voted for Hamas. Now, I understand a lot of it was to weed out corruption. The PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, run by Arafat for so long, had put lots of the money brought to it by the United States and Europe in Swiss bank accounts. They were notoriously corrupt. While Hamas, despite the fact that it believes in the destruction of Israel and basically the killing of every Jew in the land, they did provide social services. As they said in Germany, Hitler did make the trains run on time, and he was notoriously better at that than the corrupt Weimar government. But the Palestinians did have a third choice. It's very rarely discussed. It was called the Third Way. And while Hamas got 76 seats out of 132, the PLO got 43, some 15 voted for a third party. So they did have another choice. And they could have voted for that other choice, and they didn't. And what I'd like to do is explore over the next couple of hours what Israel's response should be, what the United States' response should be. My own view is that Israel should come down pretty strongly, that in fact they should keep up the security wall, take care of the territories that are pretty empty. A lot of people don't realize this, but the territories that are fought after mostly in the West Bank are empty lands. The places where the Palestinians live, Israel shouldn't reconquer. But basically build a wall. Build a wall and say to Hamas, all right, you were elected. Now you should rule. Now you should rule and don't attack us. And if they do attack, Israel needs to respond in force. And some of you may say, well, Mark, that seems contradictory. I mean, you did not support the war in Iraq. I say it's not. I'll tell you why. I'm a firm believer that when countries attack you, when people attack you, when terrorists attack you, try to destroy you, as Osama bin Laden did in the United States, you have to fight back, and you have to fight back strong. I supported the war in Afghanistan, and I support Israel isolating Hamas. Economic sanctions would be good, and if Hamas attacks Israel, Israel has every right in self-defense to respond. But I didn't support attacking Iraq because Iraq never attacked us. And I think Israel should do the same. They shouldn't go out and attack the Palestinians. They just simply shouldn't negotiate. And I think what this election shows is the limits of democracy. I mean, here it is that the administration is trying very hard to force Iraq to have democracy. And who are they voting for? They're voting for the same Shiite leadership, pretty much, that's in control of the dangerous country of Iran. So here it is, if it's not about weapons of mass destruction, right? And it's not about Saddam Hussein. If it's all about democracy, maybe we have to be careful about trying to impose democracy on others. You want to join in the discussion? Toll-free numbers, 877-528-TALK. Agree or disagree, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah,
Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday weekly review. And it seems to me that the Palestinian elections, the election of Hamas, shows the danger, I think, of when you have a country and you try to impose democracy from abroad. Don't get me wrong. I think democracy in the Middle East is a very good thing. I think there should be more democracy. But at the same time, we have to understand there's a huge difference between an established democracy, where you have a long-time, peaceful, democratic country with two parties, and new democracies. And I think we've learned, for example, with the Palestinians, that they had a difficult, almost awful choice between a corrupt government that was making very limited strides toward peace, in fact, arguably hardly making any strides at all, and a government that effectively wants to kill all the Jews in Israel, destroy the state of Israel, but was providing the social services that people need. Frankly, it reminds me a lot of the situation in 1930s Germany when you had a corrupt democratic Weimar government and then the people voted for Hitler. Let's never forget that Hitler's first foray was elected. He got some 42% of the vote. He was chosen as chancellor. The Catholic Party, Zentrum, threw the support his way. People do vote for dictatorships. And so the question is, how do we support democracy around the world, which I think we should do, and at the same time protect ourselves against the people choosing some of these radical Islamic peoples? And I think that, frankly, what's going on in Iraq is exactly the wrong way about it, and I fear that that's the future there. In my view, Israel needs to take a very strong stand against Hamas, needs to develop economic sanctions, needs to close off and say, folks, if you want to live in a state of war with us, that's fine. We won't attack you. We'll build a nice wall, or at least a security fence, to try to keep bombs and people out. But don't ask for jobs in Israel. You voted for this. Don't ask for support from Europe or the United States. You voted for this. You're on your own. Toll free, 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Harry in San Diego. Harry, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, talking about Israel, just a few days ago, Lawrence A. Franklin, a CIA analyst, was convicted and sentenced to 12 years for spying against the United States. Now, we've already got Jonathan J. Pollard that's been incarcerated for several years. Now we have Franklin. Is Israel our ally or not? And furthermore, Israel is the only nation, I repeat, since World War II that has attacked the United States.
No, that's not true.
On June 8, 1967, Moshe Dayan, the Israel Defense Minister.
You're talking about the Liberty ship, right?
That's right.
That's an old canard, Harry.
The Liberty. 34 sailors killed, over
170. Right. I know the history. Let me just give it out to my listeners. Basically, the American ship at the time was monitoring the ongoing Six-Day War, where Israel was attacked by several Arab nations.
That's
they were
right.
doing so secretly. Hold on, let me explain the situation here, because I want to get stuck in all the historical fact, but I happen to know this incident quite well. And they didn't run their flag up. They didn't notify the Israelis that the ship was there. The Israelis wrongly thought it was an Egyptian ship, and they hit it, just as we've attacked the Chinese embassy in Belgrade wrongly, by mistake. And the Americans admitted that they should have informed Israel that they were there at the time, and Israel apologized for the attack.
But this is
a broader question, Harry. When you talk about allies,
Lieutenant James Ennis was a crew member and witness of the Liberty.
This is a 40-year investigation, and it was determined, as I said, I don't need to get into this historical thing, Harry. Let me raise your first question about allies. Is Israel spying on the United States? You bet. Is the United States spying on Israel? You bet. Is the U.S. spying on Canada? Yes. Is Canada spying on the United States? Yes. Does that mean that Canada is not a U.S. ally? No, it doesn't. We spy on Canada and France and Great Britain and Israel and all of our allies because that's part of what all the intelligence services do. I think spies need to be punished.
30 sailors were killed, over 170 were wounded.
Sir, we've killed more than 20,000 Iraqis by mistake. Does that mean that we hate the Iraqi people? I mean, I think, frankly, that killing the 20,000 Iraqis that Americans did is a far more serious thing than Israel attacking one ship in wartime where we mistakenly didn't tell them that we were in the region. But do you want to move on to another topic? Do you want to talk about the elections?
Iraq was no threat to us.
I agree. Iraq was no threat to us. But I'll tell you something, sir. If we were in a war, okay, we were in an active war where we have countries invading our country, and we saw a ship off the side, and we didn't know to whom it belonged, and we cabled our great ally, Great Britain, and said, do you have that ship there? And they said, no, and we attack it, and it turns out to be a British ship. Unfortunately, that would be the British fault.
The Liberty had its flag up there, according to Lieutenant Ennis, who was a crew member.
I don't need to go into this anymore. There was a long investigation in it, and I'm afraid that's not
Lieutenant
true. I want to move on to Andrew in San Diego. Andrew, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, sweet. Hey, you may want to check your resources because he sounds old enough to where he might have been there, actually.
I don't think he was actually on the ship, but I happen to know this particular example in history, and so I was ready for him on that one. What's your point?
Well, I just wanted to throw in, pray to God we don't get stupid enough and talked into going into some war if something does happen between the Palestinians and Israel. But it just blows me away with the money that gets thrown around in our resources. With money for Iraq, money for the Katrina, money for so many of these gigantic, which I say the majority are humanitarian acts, besides minus bombs and helicopters and stuff. But is that where does the money back into our government get thrown in? I see a lot of going out, but very little going in, and that's what kind of is the concern of where the future of like this nation. Kind of going.
Andrew, it's a good point, and I've always wondered where conservatives, who used to be very much against big spending, what they would think about this government, which is by far the biggest spending government in American history. We have never been in this kind of a debt. And where's the money going? I'll tell you where it's going. It's going to Halliburton. It's going to Exxon. There was a very large tax cut given to oil companies. It's interesting. The same time that oil companies have the highest profits in American history, in fact, ExxonMobil, that one corporation made the largest profits of any corporation in American history in the last quarter, and yet in the president's recent energy bill, we're giving more money to them. And what's interesting to me is you look at a company like Ford that just had these massive layoffs. And the reason they had the massive layoffs is because instead of developing energy-efficient vehicles, hybrids, you would think that we're trying to get off of our allegiance to foreign oil, trying to get away from our allegiance to oil in general. But Ford didn't see it, and so its execs that make hundreds of millions a year as the CEOs decide we're going to put everything into SUVs. And when the American people, not surprisingly in my view, decided that these gas-guzzling vehicles aren't their future, suddenly Ford has to lay off hundreds of thousands of workers. And
I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is my last comment, and I'll just hang up and listen to you.
Okay.
But I was just thinking, if Ford actually really wanted to work some way of keeping their employees with all these U.S. SUVs and stuff they're building, maybe if they employed soccer moms, that would be one thing to keep their employees.
I don't know, Angie. Sounds like a solution to me.
I appreciate your point of view.
I appreciate your calling in. And folks, whether you agree or disagree, don't be afraid to call in and tangle it with me. Some of this history I know, some I don't, but I always appreciate your calls. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Can't walk.
I can walk, but not very far.
I can't even stand anymore.
And it gave me no freedom.
If you or a loved one suffer from limited mobility, we have incredible news. Now you may qualify for your very own new Invacare power chair or scooter at little or no cost to you. Call Mobility Products Unlimited right now to begin your free pre-qualification process. Invacare's powered mobility products are comfortable, stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there too with Invacare.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. Their friendly specialists handle all the paperwork and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scooter. You could get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. Just give us a call, 877-528-TALK. Some of you may be surprised that I'm taking such a hard stand against Hamas, against the elected authority of the Palestinians, but it seems to me that the Palestinian people have made a choice. That's what democracy is all about. They have chosen war over peace. And because of that, Israel has to take a strong stand back. I think that security fence is a good idea. I think they need to close off the borders. If the Palestinians want to work, let them work in Egypt and Jordan. They have made their choice. We should respect their choice, but at the same time, not give in to it. Because it may surprise some of you folks, but I don't believe in giving in to terrorism. That's why I think we need to fight in Afghanistan, just not in Iraq. Let's go to Darren in San Diego. Darren, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Darren, are you there?
I've been to Air America Radio for, well, since I moved down here a while ago, and so I've been getting an earful and a brain full of sort of American foreign policy. I'm a Canadian who's moved to San Diego, and I've done a fair bit of reading on the topic, and a lot of people in Canada are sort of aware that this whole concept of America exporting democracy, or at least paying lip service to it, is almost a farce, you know, that they even talk about it, and to engage in the debate of the concept, sort of, it's like they say they're doing it, and maybe this particular example is going to be the first time when sort of people maybe wake up and realize that they may be attempting to do it, but, you know, in the Americans' interest to have an actual functioning democracy in the Middle East doesn't seem to be, you know, in their best interest.
Darren, I agree with you, it's a farce. This is a president who never cared at all about democracy until they found all that nice sweet oil in Iraq. This is a guy who has not fought for democracy in the Sudan, where you have an ongoing genocide, that has not fought for democracy. In fact, back when Iran, this is the beginning of the Bush administration, democratically elected a relatively moderate guy, far more moderate than the current guy. Khatami was his name, and he didn't have much power at the time. The mullahs were in control. I argued at that time we needed to help this democratically elected leader of Iran, who was a moderate. We didn't care at the time. He hasn't fought against Liberia. We have Charles Taylor. There's a whole group, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, where you have countries where we're not supporting democracy. But in Iraq, where there are nice oil supplies, where you had Saddam Hussein that wasn't playing ball, that's the democracy that Bush supported. And I think one of the reasons why the Palestinian election went the way it did, unfortunately, is because we gave money secretly in a stupid fashion, but we gave money to the Palestinian Authority to try to help elect them. And the Palestinians saw that we were interfering in their elections, and not surprisingly, they didn't like it.
It's almost like, you know, once again, sort of coming from the perspective of an outsider that, I mean, we get basically our version of the news in Canada sort of frames the American debate more in a global context, and American news, not to go on so much about sort of like your bumbling media, seems to pick up on the concepts and run with it. And I mean, it's simply, you know, maybe you can inform me a little bit, because I don't know a great deal about American, you know, foreign policy going back a long way, but has there been sort of post-Marshall Plan an example of America successfully exporting a democracy as opposed to sort of propping up whoever will play ball and military strongmen here or there? The continuous tinkering in the foreign policy of the world seems to sort of backfire and, you know, blow back in America's face more often than it does actually do any damn good.
It's a good question, Darren, and we have to go to a break, and I can't give you a short answer. I think the answer is the record is mixed. That's my short answer. There have been some successes, Korea, for example. And I think Bosnia was a big success. There have been some tremendous failures as well. After the break, let's go in and discuss some of these. And I also want to ask you about the recent Canadian elections. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. The co-leader of the terrorist group Hamas says negotiation is not our aim when it comes to Israel. Mahmoud Zahar's group won the recent Palestinian government elections. He made his comments on CNN. Israel's interim prime minister calling on foreign governments to boycott the new Palestinian government. The terrorist group Hamas winning last week's election, leaving serious questions about the future of the peace prospects in the Middle East. The trial of Saddam Hussein resuming Sunday morning, but was thrown into chaos when the former Iraqi leader, his lawyers, and co-defendants stormed out in protest. The new chief judge in the case told the defense team in opening remarks he would not allow political statements. ABC's news anchor Bob Woodruff being treated for serious injuries after an IED blast in Iraq. ABC News reporting that Woodruff and his cameraman both suffered head wounds from a roadside bomb near the town of Tajib. Both are out of surgery and in stable condition. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
When arthritis, muscle, or joint pain strikes, strike back with Mobisil, the most advanced topical pain reliever you can buy without a prescription. Mobisil is specially formulated to penetrate deep under the skin, where it rapidly delivers a powerful analgesic directly to the site of your pain. Mobisil's revolutionary formula is odorless, non-irritating, non-staining, and without side effects. Mobisil, rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Brookshire Brothers Pharmacies.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
If you're a woman who can't control her weight and you store fat mostly in your belly, you may have polycystic ovary syndrome, and you can lose weight easily by following a diabetic diet and taking medicines to treat diabetes. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin. Women with polycystic ovary syndrome are shaped like apples. They often lose hair from the top of their heads. They have extra hair on their faces and bodies, often have irregular periods, and usually find it difficult to become pregnant. They have small cysts on their ovaries, which are eggs that are not released into the uterus. All these signs are caused by eating refined carbohydrates, which causes high insulin levels. Treatment is to avoid all bakery products and pastas, all sugar-added foods and fruit juices, and to eat lots of vegetables, whole grains, beans, seeds, nuts, and even some fruits. They should also take glucophage and drugs to lower high blood insulin levels.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Sunday Weekly Review. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Just before the break, we had a Canadian named Darren call in, and he was asking me about American foreign policy and made the very good point that a lot of times when we try to intervene, we try to help democracy, we get blowback. In other words, we try to help, and things fall back in our face. And he asked me if there's any question of any successful U.S. intervention in the post-World War II period. I would argue, Darren, that there have been successes and there have been failures. You mentioned the failures, and of course, you're absolutely right about that. There's no question we went into Afghanistan to stop the Soviet Union, and we helped create the failed state that eventually led to a bin Laden. There have been notorious examples. We supported the Shah of Iran when he tortured his own people, Marcos in the Philippines, Noriega in Panama. We supported all these dictators. And when they were overthrown by their peoples didn't like us very much. But there have been successes as well. You may not count this one because it was right after World War II. But, of course, Harry S. Truman aided Greek and Turkish new democracies in 1948 and helped stabilize those democracies. We had, the successful case of South Korea, where it is becoming a democratic government, and the more recent case of Bill Clinton in Bosnia, where he stopped, in Kosovo, I should say, he stopped an ongoing genocide, and I think Kosovo, while far from a perfect state, is becoming part of the community of nations. And here's how I distinguish, and I'm trying to give all of U.S. foreign policy while standing on one foot, as they say, it's not easy to do, but I would distinguish it this way. I think that when we go into a region for purely humanitarian reasons, to help the people, as we did in Kosovo, pure humanitarian war, clearly wasn't about oil, wasn't about U.S. interests, it was about stopping genocide. Then the people understand America, they love America, they support us. The same would be true, for example, if we were to go in right now, as I've advocated for years, a military solution, go into Sudan and stop the genocide going on there. I think when we have ulterior motives, such as oil in Iraq or Saudi Arabia for that matter, then I think people see through that. Even when the American people can't see through that, the people in the country do see through that and they don't support us. And I can think of innumerable democracies that need our support that we're not supporting now. The new democracy of Indonesia, which is a Muslim nation, it's the fifth largest nation on earth, it's a new democracy, could use our support. You don't hear much talk about it, but if it turns to the dark side, as you will, you will hear a lot of talk about that. A lot of new democracies in Latin America, Central America. Here's my view, I guess, in a nutshell. If there are new struggling democracies that are not radical, that are not attacking their neighbors, that are trying to live in peace, those are the ones we need to support before they turn to an anti-American government, and then we have to try to overthrow it by force. To me, that's too little too late. Darren, is that too long an explanation, or does that give
no,
you an idea?
That's a good one. It just seems the pattern of America supporting its corporate interests and
yep.
then over the interests of indigenous populations
yep.
throughout the world is sort of only duly noted by those people who are friggin' paying attention to what's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely right, and it's happened too much in my view. Darren, let me just ask you one more thing before you go away. I want to ask you about the Canadian elections where they voted out the corrupt but liberal government and voted in Stephen Harper. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess you have to look at, for starters, the Liberal Party sort of doesn't share, you know, we were taught in school the difference between a big L and a little L, and the big L, Liberal, is the name of the party. And essentially there's some comparisons between sort of roughly drawn between sort of Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. But, you know, the Liberal Party and the government of Paul Martin was an entrenched party. Paul Martin never really sort of got the... I think Canada's more susceptible to charismatic politicians, and our long-standing prime ministers that sort of cite Pierre Trudeau have, you know, can get the imagination of the country and run with it for 20 years, and that Paul Martin was never really, he was only like 24 months or whatever in government. It didn't take a whole lot to bring him down, and that was falling in the footsteps of another charismatic politician, Jean Chrétien, who would, like, you know, stamp his fist and get pissed off and do what was right. And
Darren, I'm afraid that Canada's not the only country that gets enthralled with charismatic politicians. We share that south of the border as well. And it seems to me that what it showed is, even though I would think that conservative Stephen Harper is probably about where our Democratic Party is, and the Liberal Party is to the left of the Democratic Party, what it showed is that when you have corruption in government, it doesn't matter which party is in power, the people, I think, are going to vote for a change, whether it's the Palestinians or the Canadians or the Americans, looking at the Abramoff scandal, hopefully, in November 2006. Darren, thank you very much for your call. Well, go ahead. Yeah, one last comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, historically, corruption's played a substantial role in the changing and the toppling of governments in Canada, and it's an easier, I mean, I think Canadians are sort of known as the sort of hardworking, honest people, and when they find out that, you know, the deals are being done and things aren't kind of being, you know, on the up and up, sort of the populist sort of fervor takes over, you know, in Canada, and they voted definitely like that this time.
I don't blame them, but you don't think it's a move to the right?
No, definitely not. In fact, actually, the NDP party, the New Democratic Party, which historically brought in sort of legislation that was, you know, included things like universal Medicare, workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, so sort of hallmark social welfare safety net things, they actually gained 8 seats or something like that in the House to 18. And, you know, when it's what we call sort of like it's not a majority government, it's a minority government, people have to pay attention to all sorts of sides. And so in that sense, the Canadian parliamentary democracy maybe is working better this time.
Well, Darren, I agree with your views. I think you're a very intelligent caller. I hope you call in again sometime. I think you're dead on there. They voted out corruption, but they didn't move to the right. And I think that's exactly my analysis of the Canadian election. Let's see if we still have Francine on the line. Francine, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I'm not going to go away.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, what's your comment or question?
Well, first I want to backtrack just a little bit.
Sure.
When you were talking about SUVs.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's all tied up with cojones. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's not a, it's a mostly a male thing. And
SUVs? I don't know. I know a lot of women.
Testosterone. You know, all
Francine, I know a lot of women that have SUVs and drive their kids
too,
to school.
But they are, you know, women don't not have testosterone. They do. And the more they have, it's connected to their, you know, macho image. And women can be macho, too.
Right. Well, tell me this. How do you think, I have my own ideas. Let me hear yours first. How do you think we can finally wean this nation off our dependency on oil? How do you think we can do it? My view is we need to tax SUVs, not ban them. I don't believe in abolishing them, but basically use our tax code to try to encourage Americans to make better choices that we don't have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars and thousands of lives getting oil abroad. What's your view?
Well, first of all, we are not a capitalist nation. We're an oligarchy that is has monopolies, okay? And so the way that I think about it is you're never going to get those people that drive SUVs to change. The only way they can do it is have the government not subsidize, which they've done over the years. And actually, due to the environment, they should, I mean, listen, they can pass laws to bring our communications down to 5 people owning all the stations. Why not, you know, just tell them they can't build them anymore?
Well, I, Francine, I think that people do change. In fact, I think that one of the reasons why Ford is in such trouble is people are changing. When Hurricane Katrina put gas prices above $3 a gallon, suddenly people saw, the people that didn't see it before, that SUVs were not the future. I don't think we have to ban them. I think that actually there's enough capitalism left in this nation. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the oligarchy, and you make some good points, but I think there's enough capitalism in the nation that we can use the marketplace, do what you said, don't subsidize them anymore, don't give a tax write-off to SUVs, calling them a light truck, which you can do and mm-hmm. deduct them for business expenses. I think with the right incentives, we can get Americans to go to smaller, better cars. You know, they did it in the 70s when gas prices went high. They did it in the 80s. And then suddenly in the 90s, everyone thought, oh, okay, we can go back to those gas guzzlers again. I think actually we can use the market with government help. Don't get me wrong. Hey, I mean, it's a great place to raise taxes, it seems to me, on your SUVs and use that money for, you know, draw down the deficit and all the other things we need for our nation. Hey, Francine, thanks for your call.
I've got another thing.
Yeah, real quick.
That was more important. It had to do with you discussing with your Canadian friend about the government changing.
Okay. Francine, I'll tell you what. I have to take a break. If you, Francine, I have to take a break, but I'll tell you what. Save your comment, and I'll get back to you right after the break, all right? Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath's sour, bitter taste and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-297-7907. 800-297-7907. That's 800-297-7907.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. We're talking about everything here. Canada, the Palestinian elections, the Ford layoffs, the corruption in our government with Abramoff, the fact that our government knew it was breaking the law with regards to eavesdropping. I definitely will get to that in the next hour. And my caller right now is Francine. She had another point to make, and I had to cut off for commercial. Francine, what was your other point?
Another minute. I was going to say that I think it's important that people in the know, like you or others that are well in the know, that there is no radical left or radical right party in any other industrialized country. And I've lived in most of them. Their left would be a centrist here. And they don't even know about that. You know, they just, and when I see that.
Well, actually, like, hold on. I think the right in Europe would be the middle here. My view is that our right is far to the right of any European policy, and in fact, our Democrats would probably be their right, and they have socialist parties that would be left of us.
Yes.
All right, just want to make sure we agree on that.
They don't have that, you know, that left-right in that is any way described like ours, and people, most people don't know that, and so when they see left and right, they just automatically assume it's the same as ours.
Right, that's a good point, Francine, and it's well taken. Thank you very much for calling in. Hope you call in again. Let's go to Miguel in San Diego. Miguel, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. It's going good. What's your point?
What doesn't make sense to me is that, you know, we can send a rocket to Pluto traveling at 40,000 miles per hour, yet we can't, American car companies can't figure out a way to make more fuel-efficient cars, but they definitely have the know-how to make these gas guzzlers.
Miguel, they know how to do it. They have made a conscious business choice not to do it. The technology is there. The hybrids are there. I got to tell you, just recently, I was in a car in Maryland, not too far from here, and it was run entirely on soybean oil. It was amazing to me. Entirely on soybeans, a renewable resource that our farmers can grow. We don't have to get it from Saudi Arabia. And it cost about $2.91 a gallon, which is a little bit higher than current gas prices, but lower than they were in Katrina. But Maryland subsidizes them and actually gives you half price, so it costs this guy $1.45 a gallon. Now, it's only certain gas stations that have it, very few. But it's clear that we can do it. It's not a question of technology. It's a question of political will.
Well, what do you think has been stopping it? Because it doesn't seem like it makes any business sense at all, because you figure that, you know, you want to have as many options out there as possible instead of having, you know, you either have a gas guzzler on an SUV or you have a crappy little, you know, Ford Focus.
I'll tell you what it is, Miguel. It's short-sightedness. Today, as I pointed out just in my example, the soybean car, today oil prices are still lower than the alternative energy sources. And what you have with corporations is they need those share prices to go up now. They don't look for 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years from now. And so they say, all right, it's cheaper right now. There's this great demand for SUVs, and so we're going to do that. And the irony is that other nations around the world do see the future. In Europe, in Japan, they're already designing these cars, and Americans are starting to buy abroad because of it. And who gets the shaft is American workers. And the problem we have, in my view, is that you have CEOs of corporations who don't have to pay the price for their failures. When Ford share prices go down, the CEO, I forget his first name, but I remember his last name, it's Ford. The CEO, probably a descendant of Henry Ford, he isn't punished. He still gets his $100 million golden parachute, but all the workers get punished. And in my view, you need a corporate structure and laws that say, hey, you know what, when you make a bad business decision, the shareholders should be able to fire you and fire you easily. And so I think that we need to use the government as a way to encourage corporations to do the right thing, because the other thing is that we are paying a lot for our dependence on oil. Why are we in Iraq? Why are we losing so many lives and hundreds of billions of dollars? It's all about oil. And if we taxpayers are going to have to pay for it, we should have a right to tell corporations, you know what, you need to make more fuel-efficient cars.
The Bushistas are saying it's about freedom.
Yeah, freedom for who? Freedom for who? I mean, somehow we're gonna give people the chance to vote for a radical Islamic government that wants to destroy us. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me. I believe that the best way to promote democracy is not with U.S. troops, but to do what we've done. In Bosnia we used U.S. troops because we were stopping genocide. But if we would support these struggling democracies, Indonesia is a great example, and support these new democracies, then they love us, right? Tsunami aid, they love us. But when you go in and you try to impose democracy, what do? They're going to end up voting for, I'm afraid, an Iran-style theocracy, and then we'll be in big trouble.
If the Sudan had oil, watch how fast we'd be in there.
I'm afraid that's the truth. Miguel, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Michelle in Long Beach, one of my favorite callers. Michelle, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Do we still have Michelle? If we lost Michelle, let's go to Jack in Oceanside. Jack, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, aren't you contradicting yourself? Because I see Palestine now as a struggling democracy.
Well, here's the difference. It seems to me there's a difference between a democracy that's struggling to help its own people, Indonesia or some Latin American countries, and a country that votes, in effect, for the destruction of another nation.
Well, see, here's the problem with your attitude and the attitude of the United States and Israel, is you haven't even given them a chance. You come right at them with a bad attitude. Instead of welcoming them into the nation of democracies,
mm-hmm.
declaring an amnesty, going
amnesty.
Forward... Sure. Let's just have like a why don't we declare an amnesty for all past acts? It's not like Israel hasn't responded in kind. We have a ceasefire.
I don't think Israel should break a ceasefire.
If the United States initiates this, we work towards a Palestinian state, give them a chance.
Well, Jack,
let's right off the mark with your bad attitude. and you know what? I want to ask you something. Are you a Zionist?
To the extent, though, I believe that there should be a Jewish state. Well, hold on. You don't even answer the question. Is the definition of Zionist means someone who believes there should be a Jewish state in the world? Yes, absolutely. I think there should be a French state,
an
American state.
Well, some of the Zionists put the interests of Israel ahead of the United States. I don't appreciate that.
Well, that's not what a Zionist is. I mean,
Zionists are that way, and Lieberman is one of them.
I don't think that's true. Listen, I got a lot of problems with Joe Lieberman, but I don't think he's putting the interests of Israel above the United States. Jack, hang on. We've got to go to a break. I promise I will give you your word after the break. 877-528-TALK. Jack, we'll get right back to you, but you got to take a break. If you want to call in, join us. 877-528-TALK right after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now. 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264.
Born with a rare birth defect and living in a Russian orphanage, Elena had little chance of ever walking. But when her adoptive family brought her home, They found help and hope at a Shriners hospital where she was fitted with prosthetic feet.
We wouldn't be where we are if Shriners hadn't taken care of us.
Shriners Hospitals offer some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs.
Shriners Hospital made a difference not only with the medical side of it, but the human side of it and making it a family experience for us.
Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old.
I don't think there's even words to really thank Shriners for everything they've done. Their care is phenomenal.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Before the break, I was talking about the Palestinian elections. And a caller, Jack, from Oceanside, California, said, "Hey, Mark, why don't you give the Palestinians a chance? You got a bad attitude here. Why can't you just let Hamas be? And if they want to destroy Israel, which, of course, Hamas has said they want to destroy Israel, just leave them alone. Let them try to accomplish their task." Look, Israel has given the Palestinians every possible chance. You've got to remember, every single war that Israel's fought has been one-sided. The Arabs have attacked Israel, and Israel has responded. And it seems to me that Israel does have a right to exist, that the people there do have a right to live and to live in peace. And I also think the Palestinians have a right to live in peace, and that's why I was very proud of Bill Clinton, who in 2000 worked with Barak, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Yasser Arafat, and offered Yasser Arafat more than 94%, some say 96%, some say 98%, but everyone agrees more than 94% of the Palestinian territories, West Bank and Gaza, to them to become a state, including redividing the holiest Jewish city on earth, Jerusalem. I don't see Italians or Catholics giving up Rome. I don't see Muslims giving up Mecca. But Israel was willing to give up part of Jerusalem, which I find amazing. And Arafat stunningly said no. He stunningly chose war. And at that time, people said, "Oh, well, that's just Arafat. He doesn't want peace. The Palestinians want peace. Arafat doesn't want peace." But now you have this election. And the Palestinians had a choice. And they voted for a party that is dedicated to the destruction of Israel. They could have voted for the Third Way. They could have voted for a non-corrupt party. And I understand they didn't want the corruption of the Palestinian Authority. But to vote for the destruction of Israel, to me, is the same as the Germans who supported Hitler in the 30s. Now, I am not advocating that Israel invade the Palestinian territories. What I'm advocating is put up a fence. Good fences make good neighbors. Say to the Palestinians, "You want to live without us? You have it. You have a de facto state. You rule yourselves. We won't let you in. We won't give you any more aid. You're on your own. And if you attack, we're going to come at you with full force." Jack, you've been hanging on. What's your view?
Well, I think you're missing my point. My point is that this is a new day. Only because Hamas now is a duly elected democracy, and we're in Iraq trying to promote democracy. We look like a bunch of hypocrites. The wrong guys got in our viewpoint. I'm just saying is that it would have made more sense to give them a chance. Now, you know, one of the things that is never addressed is the double standard, and it's one of the reasons why we had 9/11, and it's one of the reasons why we're in Iraq. And that is the Arabs see a double standard with how they're treated by the United States and how the United States treats Israel. You know, Israel has a nuclear arsenal, and I don't see that Israel is willing to dismantle their nuclear force in exchange for having the entire Middle East be a nuclear-free zone.
But here's the dramatic difference, Jack. Here's the difference. Here's the difference.
The United States or Israel.
Here's the big difference.
You know what?
Let me give you the difference.
Or, you know what? We may destroy you.
Jack, let me give you the difference. Here's the difference.
We might do a preemptive strike on you.
Jack, here's the difference. Israel is not a threat to its neighbors. Hamas has threatened to destroy Israel. Hamas was asked, by the way, since the election, they were asked, "Do you give up your platform to destroy Israel, to throw all the Jews into the sea?" And they said, "No, that's still our platform." Now, if Hamas truly gives up trying to kill all the Jews in Israel and supports having a Palestinian state and caring for the Palestinians. In fact, if they don't attack Israel, Israel shouldn't attack. I'm not saying Israel should go in and invade. They shouldn't do what we did with Iraq with some preemptive strike. Absolutely not. But if Hamas does attack Israel, Israel has the right and duty as a sovereign nation to respond. We had the right to respond in Afghanistan because they attacked us. I'm not advocating a preemptive strike like we did in Iraq. And I think the big difference is Israel is not a threat to its neighbors. Hamas is and has shown it through its terrorist policies. That's it for this hour, Jack. We will be on next hour. If you will stick around, I will continue the discussion with you right here on The Inside Scoop.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that, we'd soon find out, was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRate reporting.
For them to have support from the United States and the United States Congress, and from this administration, they must renounce their policy, stated policy, that they want to destroy Israel.
President Bush outlining conditions for relations with the new terrorist Palestinian government in an interview with CBS Bob Schieffer broadcast on Face the Nation. The co-leader of the terrorist group Hamas saying, quote, negotiation is not our aim when it comes to Israel. Mahmoud Zahir's terrorist group won the recent Palestinian government elections. Zahir says Hamas is rooted in Islam.
We are here living under Islamic control. Nothing will change. Islam is our constitution. Is controlling our relationship among the Palestinian society, among the Arabic, and also with the international community.
Meantime, Israel's interim prime minister calling on foreign governments to boycott the new Palestinian government. President Bush saying he won't explain how an international surveillance program is being conducted. The president saying to do so would be to tell suspected terrorists how to avoid having their conversations monitored.
I have looked at this program from all angles. And my dilemma, my problem is, I can't explain to you how it works in order to justify your question without telling the enemy what we're doing.
The president appearing on CBS Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
If you're ready to help alleviate the symptoms of arthritis and joint pain, then you're ready to try Mobisil. Mobisil delivers a powerful pain reliever in a quick-absorbing, deep-penetrating formula. Apply it right to the site of the discomfort for rapid and dramatic relief from arthritis pain, inflamed joints, and sore muscles. Mobisil cream causes no side effects, is non-staining, non-irritating, and odorless. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Price Chopper pharmacies. Thousands of people around the country are enjoying a new life with freedom from arthritis and muscle pain. Now you can too with Mobisil. Mobisil penetrates deep into joints, delivering rapid relief directly to the site of your pain. Unlike other medicated creams, Mobisil's formula is odorless, non-staining, non-irritating, and without side effects, so you can apply it anytime, anywhere. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Bruno's pharmacies.
Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas says the president's surveillance program is not domestic spying. Roberts telling CNN's Late Edition it is a highly minimized program to prevent a terrorist attack on the U.S.
If a call comes in from an al-Qaeda cell and it is limited to that where we have reason to believe that they are planning an attack to an American phone number, I don't think we're violating anybody's Fourth Amendment rights in terms of civil liberty.
The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee adding that the program is legal and is a terrorist threat warning capability. Iran is moving forward with plans to hold a conference to look into the scale of the Holocaust. A spokesman for the Iranian government saying the conference will be held in Tehran this spring. He didn't give a more precise date. Iran's president recently describing the Holocaust as a myth. The government official inviting Prime Minister Tony Blair to attend the conference. Blair describing the whole idea of the conference as, quote, shocking, ridiculous, and stupid. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL has something that even vacuums costing $1,000 don't have. The Carpet and Rug Institute's seal of approval. That means it passed every test put to it by the folks who make your carpets. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 and I'll send you one. And you can use it free for 30 days. That's 1-800-989-4200 and see if it earns your seal of approval.
ABC News anchor Bob Woodruff has been seriously injured in Iraq. He and his cameraman were wounded in a roadside bombing near the town of Taji, not far from Baghdad. ABC News reporter Martha Radatz explaining the incident on This Week.
The IED went off, the improvised explosive device. They were both immediately injured, taken away. They have shrapnel wounds. Both apparently have shrapnel wounds to the head.
Both men are now out of surgery and in stable condition. Dozens died in Poland yesterday when the roof of an exhibition center collapsed. Poland's president put the death toll at 66. One official saying there is a slight possibility there are more victims in the rubble. Four Illinois pharmacists are suing Walgreens, claiming they were wrongly fired for refusing to dispense the morning after contraceptive pill. They say an Illinois law allows them to opt out of procedures they morally oppose. More news at usaradio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, three episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.talkstarradio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, and a special thank you to the listeners of KLSD in San Diego that have made the Inside Scoop, right here on the Talkstar Radio Network, the Inside Scoop is the top-ranked show in this time slot in San Diego, and I'm proud of that. And I think one of the reasons is because I like it when you call in and disagree with me. Really, I value those who call in, whether you agree or disagree, on any topic, 877-528-TALK. In this hour, I definitely want to come back to domestic issues. I want to talk about why it is that the Republicans can't seem to separate the difference between a policy that may or may not be good, spying on various American citizens, and following the law. Why do they have such trouble understanding the idea that the president shouldn't be above the law? And I want to talk about how that connects with Judge Alito and why I think he should be filibustered. Also, if we have time, we'll definitely talk about Abramoff and the pictures there. But we've been spending a lot of time in the last hour, and I've had a lot of calls, and I welcome those calls, talking about the issue in Israel, where the Palestinians have elected Hamas, an organization dedicated to the destruction of the state of Israel. It was a fair and democratic election, and the Palestinians voted for destruction. A lot of people forget that Adolf Hitler also came to power by an election, and people can elect people who are dangerous. In my view, we need to not invade, but to use economic sanctions, much as we used against South Africa with its apartheid policy, much as I think we should have done against Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Use economic sanctions and say, hey, Hamas, if you want to live in peace, if you change your view, hey, it may surprise you, I actually agree with George Bush on this one. If they change their view, then we can deal with them, Israel should deal with them, but if they're still dedicated to Israel's destruction, Israel shouldn't negotiate with them at all. I've been talking with Jack in Oceanside, California. I know he disagrees with me. Jack, you have the floor.
Right. Well, I think the problem is that there's, right off the bat, Israel's calling now, I heard on the news while I was holding, for a boycott of Hamas.
Right.
And they don't even want to enter into negotiations with them.
Hamas doesn't want to enter negotiations with them.
Well,
I mean, Hamas is dedicated to the destruction of Israel.
As long as everybody takes this attitude, we're not going to get anywhere.
Jack, do you think we should negotiate with Osama bin Laden?
Well, he doesn't represent a nation state.
Well, he used to represent Afghanistan. Should we have negotiated with him when he was still running with the Taliban in Afghanistan? Should we have negotiated with him, or should we have attacked him, and why?
Well, you know, I think we should just confine this right now to Israel. And
but I'm making a larger point here. There's a difference, I think.
I think you're talking apples and oranges.
I don't think there's a difference. Let me tell you why, and you tell me why you disagree. To me, there's a difference between a country that is hostile but isn't attacking us, and I would put Iraq's Saddam Hussein in that category prior to our invasion. He was hostile, no question. He did some bad things, but he wasn't actively attacking America. And a place like Osama bin Laden, or the Taliban at that time, that was dedicated to killing American civilians. Hamas has killed hundreds, thousands of Israeli children. They don't go after the military. They put bombs in schools. They are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. If they change their tune, I'll be the first to argue that Israel should negotiate with them. But why should you negotiate with someone who says, I want to kill you, I want to see you dead?
Well,
that's my question.
All right. Here's my answer. First of all, I think you and I probably would agree on almost everything but this subject. I think you
perhaps
have a
that's
bias,
true.
And I think you have a bias when it comes to Israel. But let me. I think what we need to be is objective, and let me come at a different angle. I think most of your listeners probably think, and I think a lot of people in the world think, that here's George Bush, duly elected. And that might be in doubt.
That's a doubt to me.
Represents a democracy. A lot of people think he's acting like a dictator. A lot of people think he's the most dangerous man in the world right now.
Right.
So what do you want? People not to negotiate with us? I think most of this comes down to might makes right. And Israel is so powerful that they can afford to take these viewpoints. And I think I'm just saying, to start with, that Israel and the United States should welcome Hamas, be the bigger of the two, start fresh, a fresh start, and hey, if it doesn't work out, go back to guns. But you haven't even given it a try.
Well,
and you guys have the weapons, you're in a position to be the bigger of the two.
To be clear, I'm not advocating Israel invade the Palestinian territories. I just want to be very clear on that. I'm not advocating Israel go to war, all right? I'm not advocating that. I'm
advocating do you take the position of Israel that right away they're calling for other nations to boycott Hamas?
Economic sanctions, sure. Absolutely.
Well,
anytime.
You and I aren't going to agree on that. That's
okay.
Just the wrong way to start off.
We don't have to agree, but you understand Hamas is not this new entity. If this were some new Palestinian entity that came up from the grassroots that we hadn't heard of before, I'd be 100% for giving it a chance. This is an organization with a long history of terrorism and trying to kill people, and they're dedicated to Israel's destruction. I mean, when Hitler came to power, people were surprised, some of them, that he went as far as he did. But he wrote it all out in Mein Kampf ahead of time, telling people exactly what he planned to do. Hamas is not a cipher here. They've told us what they mean to do.
Look, I think Israel has the right to exist. I also think that the Palestinians have a right to be a state.
I agree.
I think there's way too much attention paid to Israel in the world today.
I agree. I think we should leave the Palestinians alone, put them behind a security fence, and say, good luck. And if you want to rejoin the nations of the world in peace, we welcome you into it. Jack, thank you very much for this
long discussion.
I've enjoyed it. We've got to take another break. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the Arthritis Lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to HealthStarProducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStarProducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord, that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, and I've just described one instance, and there are not many, folks, why I actually agree with George Bush, and that is I don't think any country should negotiate with a country dedicated to its destruction. There's nothing to negotiate with. I mean, if a guy says, "I want to kill you," do you say, "Well, let me figure out how best I can help you to kill me"? No! You just say, "Sorry, I won't attack you, but if you attack me, I'm going to attack back. And in the meantime, I'm going to get all my friends not to give you economic help." It's logical. And I think, frankly, the Palestinians are, it's very sorry that they didn't have a leader who way back in 2000 accepted 94% of a loaf, but insisted on the whole thing. Let's go to Angela in Los Angeles. Angela, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello,
it's a
how are you?
Pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I have a question, and I also disagree with you a little about this whole Hamas situation.
Okay.
My question is, because I think you know it and I don't, how many Middle Eastern countries originally advocating the destruction of Israel have changed their official stance?
Let's see. Egypt is one. Jordan is another.
I think that when diplomacy is used over time, that happens, and I think that that can happen in this situation. I know this is Hamas is currently advocating the destruction of Israel right now,
right.
And I think that with an economic embargo, with the continuation of diplomacy, now this doesn't mean that I believe that Israel shouldn't protect itself. Perhaps a wall temporarily
right.
would be the way to go, but I think that we are being disingenuous, and we are being hypocritical when we refuse to even consider the possibility of talking to or dealing with a legitimately elected government when all George Bush has been doing for the last 3 years is preaching democracy, democracy, democracy in the Middle East.
Angela, you make some good points. Let me say that I actually think you and I aren't too far apart. It sounds like you support the security fence, at least for temporarily. I don't argue it should be permanent.
Only only because I believe that Israel has a right,
right
to completely protect itself.
And you support an economic embargo, at least temporarily, unless Hamas changes its mind.
Money speaks.
So I don't think we're that different.
And if the money that Europe and the United States is sending
right
to the
Palestinian authorities, yeah,
have actually helped run their government at this point, when Hamas can't continue to clean the streets, when Hamas can't build schools, and this is what their people want.
You're
believe
right
that the Palestinian people are just as tired and worn out of this bloodshed as the Israelis are, and the rest of us are tired of hearing of it.
I'll tell you, Angela, we're not that far apart. One secret that certainly all Israelis know, but maybe we don't know in the United States,
mm-hmm,
is that there are always backdoor channels. I mean, even when we didn't recognize Red China, we
mm-hmm
were secretly talking with them. Israel has been secretly talking with the PLO for years. I'm sure that there will be back-channel discussions. And if Hamas has a ceasefire, then certainly Israel should not go in militarily. They should restrict it to economic sanctions. I think the answer is this. The Palestinians, many of them, I'm sure, are tired of war. I know many of the reasons they voted for Hamas did not have to do with the destruction of Israel, but had to do with the fact that the current government, Fatah, was completely corrupt. They were taking all the money,
exactly,
lining their pockets. There was a third way that got virtually no press anywhere, but actually did win some 15 seats, which is, you know, about 10%.
You know, I cannot blame the Palestinian people for the messing up of an election.
Well, no. I understand. Hey,
no, especially
yeah, after what we did in Florida.
The situation happening
right
in the United States.
Right, no, that's true.
Know, and our current power structure. I can't say, well, there was a third way. I think that, you know, we have to be more generous with the people that are lacking in more opportunities
right
for education than we have, that are basically living in camps,
many
that
are
trying, despite it all, to figure out a way towards democracy.
Well,
and that we
here's the question.
We need to be the bigger. We need to give Hamas, regardless of all of their rhetoric, a chance here.
Here's the heart of the question. Here's the heart of the question. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Angela, and I really don't think we're that far apart. The heart of the question is,
mm-hmm,
you know, will Hamas moderate itself in power it now that it has to control the streets and the schools and everything? And I think we'll see. I think it's an
will
open question. I think Israel should
don't
hide back behind walls. Again, I'm not advocating an attack, unless they are attacked, in which case I think they have the right to self-defense. But go back behind walls and see. And if the people will demand on their local Hamas representatives, give us good schools and good streets and moderate your rhetoric, then obviously that would be a very welcome opportunity. But I fear sometimes that people make bad choices when they're up against the wall. The Germans were up against the wall in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sometimes people, when they're up against the wall, make horrific choices. And the one thing I don't think we should do is pretend like nothing happened, to say, oh, well, they elected Hamas, it's no different than the Palestinian Authority. Sometimes I think you have to take a stand. And you have to say, you know what, you advocate our destruction. We're not going to deal with you unless and until you moderate. But I appreciate your call, Angela. I don't think we're too far apart. I really don't. Let me go to Nathan. Nathan, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Nathan, are you there? Okay, Nathan seems to be gone. That's fine, because we have to take a break anyway. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is, you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-297-7907. 800-297-7907. That's 800-297-7907.
I've been reading online about a drug-free home treatment program that suggests you can be asthma-free. It's a program designed by an ex-asthmatic who claims she cured her own asthma. It's based on a little-known but astounding clinical trial at a major hospital. What would you give to be free of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms, to breathe easily, freely, naturally, in a relaxed way? This drug-free method, proven by clinical trials, is guaranteed or you get your money back, and you have 90 days to decide. Get to a computer now and go to healthstarproducts.com. That's www.healthstarproducts.com. Read about the asthma program, and if it doesn't do what it says it'll do for you, you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Go to healthstarproducts.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday weekly review. All topics are valid. We spent a lot of time talking about the recent election of Hamas, and that's fine. You can call in about that. Or if you want to call in and talk about presidential eavesdropping, I do want to talk, at least in the last half hour of the show, about how we know for a fact that the Bush administration knew it was breaking the law when it decided to eavesdrop on American citizens. First, let's go to Jay, though. Jay, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You know, I've got to tell you, I love your show. I think you're great. I can't remember one time that I've disagreed with you, and I don't disagree with you now, but I'm very conflicted, and I hope you'll give me a few minutes.
Go ahead.
I've been listening. Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I've been to Israel 8 times. I'm married to an Israeli who has her whole family there. We share the same last name, by the way. I've normally been pretty hawkish. I supported Netanyahu when he ran. But I have to tell you that Jack and Angela made some really good points, and that's why I'm conflicted. And I think the major thing that I want to say, I hate Hamas. I hate the terrorism. My in-laws lived within a mile of where Iraqi Scuds landed in 20 years ago.
Right.
But I have to say, the idea that Jack had about amnesty, in some ways, to me, that's very attractive because, you know, we've got to look towards the future. If we agree that democracy is a good thing, and I'm not saying that elections always mean democracy, but not necessarily to give Hamas a chance, that too, but to put them on the spot. If they're going to be leading a nation or a nation that's about to be built, they have to step up and become much more responsible in terms of how the world will look at them and how they have to look at the world. There are people that might say that that Begin was a terrorist. I don't believe he was. He was fighting for independence. But there are people that would say he was a terrorist, and then he became prime minister. He made the peace agreements and so forth. So,
Jay, let me ask you this, if I can.
Yeah.
How do you define amnesty? You said Israel should offer Hamas amnesty. What does that mean in your view?
Here's what I would do. I know and I agree with the policy that they've been targeting Hamas leaders to assassinate them.
Right.
And I do agree with that when Hamas is killing children and,
right,
and so forth. I think, what if they were to say, look, we see that Hamas has won the election. They're popular among the Palestinian people. Fatah has decided not to be part of the coalition government that they,
right,
wanted to start. They're willing to say, look, you guys got it. You guys, you know, make it or break it. We're not going to stand with you. We're going to be the loyal opposition, and we're assuming that things are not going to work, and we're going to get back into power.
So, Jay, are you saying this? Because I think we may reach an agreement here. Are you saying that Israel should stop or discontinue or suspend is probably the best word, suspend its policy of assassinating Hamas leaders unless and until Hamas does another attack on Israel? If that's what you're saying, I agree with you. I think Israel should...
I would go even further.
Yeah.
I would look towards some economic aid for the Hamas government. I would try to say something like, you guys are in power now. You have to make your country work. Here are the things that you, and the world needs to say this, not just Israel.
Yeah.
Here are the things that you need to do. You've had a good record in terms of your social services on the West Bank. You've had a good record in trying to clean up the corruption. We know the former government was corrupt. You need to keep your nose clean. The minute you don't, and incidentally, I think they ought to finish the fence, the wall, whatever you think, whatever you want to call it, and protect themselves. The utmost thing is Israeli security, as far as I'm concerned, where this comes from. No matter how Palestinians think they're being mistreated, even though we know Palestinians have a better life in Israel than they do in any other place.
That's true, and it's interesting. The Arabs in Israel do not want to be part of the Palestinian state. They very much want to stay in Israel because
they
feel safe.
And I know a lot of them personally who will tell me the exact same thing. They don't like Arafat. They didn't like Arafat. They don't like any of the Palestinian leaders. They want to have their own people in the Knesset. They want to have peace with their neighbors. So, you know, if
Jay, let's do this. Let me see if we can come to some agreement here.
Their neighbors across in the West Bank, that would be great. Thing is, I think certain conditions have to be established by the world that says, all right, Hamas, we're going to give you a break. We're going to forget about what you did in the past.
But see, Jay, shouldn't they come to the table too?
I
mean, here's the thing.
You have to do certain things. You have to keep your nose clean. You can't. You've got to disavow terrorism.
Hang on, Jay.
But privately and just stop the terrorism.
But, Jay, I think that that's exactly what's happening. I mean, I don't know that we disagree. I mean, as far as the economic aid, I'd want to make sure that it goes specifically to a specific social program like, you know, putting good sewers or things like that that, you know, there's no question of. But that's exactly what the world is doing, I think. They're saying to Hamas, disavow terrorism, accept Israel's right to exist, and we will deal with you. The question is, should we give them this amnesty when they are still saying every dollar we get we're going to use to destroy Israel? I mean,
well, one of the points that I want to make to you about that is one of the callers before had said that Israel, maybe it was Jack, Israel is a very strong nation, and we know they are. Now, Jack has some naivete about some things that are going on there, and I recognize that in some of his arguments. But the fact of the matter is, Israel is a much stronger country, and I think, like Angela said, they can afford to be bigger, to show what democracy really is, as long as they're being protected to make the first step.
Jay, we have to take another break.
We
have to take another break, but I guess my view is this. I think Israel has been bigger. I think over the years they have consistently offered things to the Palestinians. Everything from the clearest example is Camp David in 2000, where they offered them 94% and they said no. It seems to me that Israel doesn't have to be bigger anymore, just has to sit back and protect itself. And if the Palestinians want peace, they need to come to the table and ask for peace. But I agree with you on a lot of what you said, and I really do appreciate your call. 877-528-TALK. We'll get to more calls right after this.
This is Newsbreak. The co-leader of the terrorist group Hamas saying, negotiation is not our aim when it comes to Israel. Mahmoud Zahar's group won the recent Palestinian government elections. He made his comments on CNN's Late Edition. Israel's interim prime minister is calling on foreign governments to boycott the new Palestinian terrorist government. ABC News anchor Bob Woodruff is being treated for serious injuries after an IED blast in Iraq. ABC News reports that Woodruff and his cameraman both suffering head wounds from a roadside bomb near the town of Taji, both taken to U.S. military hospital in Iraq, and are both now out of surgery and recovering in stable condition. The trial of Saddam Hussein resuming this morning, but was thrown into chaos when the former Iraqi leader, his lawyers, and his co-defendant stormed out in protest. The new judge in the case told the defense team in opening remarks it would not be allowed political statements. A street brawl shut down a main section of the Las Vegas Strip Saturday night as partygoers battled with each other and police. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Ever thought about your own executive consulting business? Helping clients legally protect their assets from lawyers, judgments, government seizures, and divorce? Over $160 billion was paid last year just to settle frivolous lawsuits. One out of three business people or professionals will be sued this year. An asset protection consultant can make as much as $6,400 from each client, plus annual renewals. If a serious executive income appeals to you, offering a unique and affordable service in huge demand, and if you're prepared to make an investment in your own business, part or full time, then a former nationally known collection attorney and best-selling author wants to send you a free video hosted by actor Robert Wagner with full information about this limited opportunity. Call 1-800-821-2274. That's 1-800-821-2274. Call anytime, 24 hours, 1-800-821-2274.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. Scientists have known for years that some people seem to need more sleep than others, but they haven't known why. Now they can blame the body clock. In a new study, they kept people awake for 40 hours straight and measured body temperature and levels of various hormones. People who habitually sleep more than 9 hours a night had results showing a longer biological night.
Body clocks also play a role in our response to blood pressure medicine. Australian researchers have found that different types of pills have their main effects at different times of day. Beta blocker heart medicines like atenolol, for instance, work best during daylight hours. Diuretics like hydrochlorothiazide and the calcium channel blocker Plendil worked around the clock. But the drug that worked best at night was an ACE inhibitor called perindopril. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. How stupid does the Bush administration think we are? Do Republicans think we are when they're talking about this eavesdropping thing? How dumb do they think we are? Every time Democrats or, frankly, Republicans, moderate Republicans, every time lawyers or the Congressional Research Service, which is nonpartisan, points out that the administration has been spying on Americans and it clearly violating the law, what do they say? They don't bring up the law at all. They say, we need to do the spying. We need to spy on Al-Qaeda. It's a good thing. No one's disputing the need to spy on Al-Qaeda. But there are legal ways to do it. You go and you get a warrant. The question is not, what spying do we need to do? That's a red herring, and the Republicans know it's a red herring. The question is, why did the president feel the need to violate the law? You know, back when I worked in Congress for the Judiciary Committee and the Homeland Security Committee, there was a proposal by the Justice Department to give the president the very authority that he claims he secretly had all along. It was called Patriot Act 2, and it was to allow exactly this kind of domestic eavesdropping. In fact, it was to allow it when Congress had a war, as they did in Afghanistan, but didn't declare war. Right now, in fact, the statute does allow the president to do domestic eavesdropping for up to 15 days without a warrant if Congress declares war. It has a right to do under the Constitution. They tried to pass this bill, even when Congress doesn't declare war. There was such outrage, and I remember this at the time, Congress said no, and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said just last month that they considered this legislation but decided against it because they knew Congress wouldn't pass it. That, my friends, is the smoking gun for anyone who wants to impeach the president. It wasn't just that he was breaking the law, folks, but he knew he was breaking the law. And next time you have a friend who supports the Bush administration and says, they had to do surveillance because of Al-Qaeda, say, why couldn't they do it within the law? Why couldn't they get a warrant? Why did they feel they have to break the law? That's a question to which no one, I've heard, has been able to give an answer. 877-528-TALK. I know a number of you still want to talk about Israel. That's fine with me. Anything you want to talk about, 877-528-TALK. It's one of those rare times where I actually agree with the Bush administration. It's not going to happen often. So if you want to call on and hand me my head because of that, that's perfectly fair. Let's go to Myrna. Myrna, you still on the line? Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, I am.
What's your question or comment?
Hi, Mark. Well, I was calling about Israel, and I agree basically with most of the things that you said.
Okay, good.
But I'm just thinking, I have another thing. I think once they do the amnesty, if they break the peace, I think that they should give up land for every life they take, an acre of land for a life, and then maybe it'd stop some of this fighting.
Well, you know, I like that idea. The idea if Hamas kills 23 children, take 23 square miles of land and annex it to Israel. That's actually a nice idea. I like that idea so that they can see where they lose on the ground. One of the things people don't realize when they're looking at the West Bank and Gaza is completely crowded. It's one of the most crowded places on earth. It's not a very pleasant place. But the West Bank, only about a third of it is populated. If you look at a map of Israel, there are the hills in the center. They're very strategic, and that's where
and
the
people made arable land. They worked hard.
Right.
Made land out of desert. I felt bad that they gave up that. But
well, what's interesting is that
I thought that was a good concession for the peace.
What's interesting is that the about one third to one half of the West Bank is well populated. It has been populated since biblical times. More than half of the West Bank is desert. Basically, from about Jerusalem east to the Jordan River is empty land. Now, it's very strategic land, it's interesting. That land, it's not a question of who lives on it, because no one lives on it. The question is, who should have this empty land? And if the Palestinians support peace, I think Israel should give them that land. But right now, they're not. And your idea, Myrna, of annexing an acre or a mile for every person, innocent person they kill, I kind of like that idea, Myrna. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Let me go to Michelle. Michelle in Long Beach, one of my favorite callers. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
You're so kind. And I might hand you your head.
Okay, go ahead. Disagree with me. I take it well, particularly from someone like you who is such a loyal listener. Go ahead.
Well Mark, we do have to remember that the U.S. did support Hamas when fighting the PLO. Correct.
A little bit, not. Then, but you're right. You're right. Okay. To some extent, they did. That's true.
Well, I would propose
we supported here. Osama bin Laden too. Unfortunately, when fighting the Soviet Union.
Exactly. So I would propose here that we look at it as what you were talking about when you came back from the news segment. That we open up all our communiques as a government to information to the public. I would suggest we go so far, as you said earlier in conversation, that we do, you know, we have people spying on Israel and Israel spying on us and
right.
Canada spying.
Everyone spies on everybody.
How about we stop hiding things? How about we open up and just say, of course, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and let the people, supposedly this is democracy, let the people understand what our actions are. Because, you know, when we say that as a country we're fighting this terrible element, what is that element? Is it people that have been oppressed? Is it people that are trying to have a voice themselves? And really, as a country in our military efforts, hasn't most of that been pushed forward by the very few? That would be the military industry, the oil industry, and obviously, you know, those big companies that do a lot of trade, world trade, at the benefit of them and their
financial gain. Here's the problem, Michelle. I think that the world is not that simple, I guess. I mean, there's no question that you're right on a number of fronts. There's no question that, President Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. In fact, I think that largely that's the case with our war in Iraq. They went in to get oil, to get supplies. But I don't think all wars are done for that reason. Some wars are as simple as two people fighting over the same land. And I think when you have that case, and it's not just Israel and the Palestinians, I argued back for a Kurdish state when I first came on the air 2.5 years ago. I also think, frankly, that the Basques in France and the Catalans in Spain should have their own country, too. I think actually every people on earth that has a certain territory should have a right to at least control their own destiny. And it seems to me that when you have two peoples battling over the same territory, it's a very hard case. But what you need to do is basically split it in some, and it's never going to be perfectly fair, split it in some fair way as long as both peoples are willing to live in peace with each other. And if you have a people that's irrevocably committed to the destruction of another people, then the answer is sorry, you haven't shown the maturity to control your own government. Whether any time you have that belief, whether it's Hitler or Saddam Hussein invading Kuwait, and I supported that war in the Gulf War, maybe some of you didn't. I think when you have a country that's dedicated to attacking another country, you just don't give them the benefit of the doubt until and unless they change their mind. But I'll give you one last word, and then I got to go to other callers. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say in bringing up, getting the information, opening up information that we as a government, our government does, their actions, is I'm a communications major.
Well, I believe in open government.
The only way, Mark, that we can truly, it's not that it's not simplistic. It is simplistic in the sense of communication. Everybody, what is fear based on but the lack of
information? Okay, well, there you're right. I believe in open government. I mean, obviously, some of our intelligence programs have to be secret. But I believe in open government, and when you are doing things in secret, you got to do it within the law.
Okay, I'll let you get to your other callers, Mark. Hey, work on KRXA.
I'll work on any station you can to expand the inside scoop. Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Michelle. I got a couple other callers, Nathan and Philip. They've been waiting a long time. Got to take one more break. I'll get right to your calls after this. 877-528-TALK. Right back after this.
The most famous television documentary ever produced was Victory at Sea, which was as noted for the swelling musical score by Richard Rodgers as the amazing footage from World War II gathered from over 13,000 hours of footage from U.S., British, German, and Japanese navies. RetroTelevision.com offers you 26 episodes of Victory at Sea, stunningly reproduced on DVD for just $19.95. The original 26 episodes are presented uncut with every note of Richard Rodgers' original score for just $19.95. To take advantage of this offer, go online to www.RetroTelevision.com. That's R-E-T-R-O, Retro Television, you got to spell out television.com. Or go to TalkStarRadio.com to get your set of Victory at Sea episodes for just $19.95.
How would you like to work less, spend more time with your family, and make more money than you have ever dreamed of? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful children and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about EasyBiz23.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month, and now she earns $16,000 a month. Tori says before she started her own business, she worked 10 hours a day in a high-pressure job. She wore out her car commuting back and forth to work. Now she makes over $100,000 a year in her pajamas. Go online to find out more at EasyBiz23.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's www.EasyBiz23.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to EasyBiz23.com. That's EasyBiz, the number 23.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There is a lot going on in Washington. I do predict that the Democrats will try to stage a filibuster. I know John Kerry will, of Samuel Alito, and I think that that should happen. All the press has already declared the effort to be failed, and it may well, but I don't give up before we try. Alito supports the idea of a president that's above the law. This unitary executive theory that basically means the president doesn't have to obey the law, doesn't have to obey Congress, and that above all, more than Roe v. Wade, more than anything else, is I think the reason why the Democrats need to filibuster him. And this so-called nuclear option, do you know what that is, folks? The nuclear option is the idea that the Republicans will break the Senate rules. The Senate rules say you have a right to filibuster, and they say you can't change the rules unless you have a two-thirds vote. Well, Republicans say, well, screw the rules. We're in charge here. We're not going to obey the rules. We're going to change the rule about changing the rules. It'd be like saying, we can amend the Constitution with a majority instead of two-thirds. So they plan to break the law. I say to the Democrats, make them do it. Don't roll over. If they threaten to break the law, make them do it. Same thing, frankly, I said with the Bush v. Gore decision. Al Gore shouldn't have given in. Make the Republicans force them to let the American people know what they're doing, even when they're breaking the law. Most of the discussion, though, has been about Israel, probably because I've taken an unusual stand for me. I agree with the Bush administration that Israel should not negotiate with Hamas unless and until Hamas gives up its goal of destroying the state of Israel. A lot of you have called in and disagreed, and I welcome your calls, whether you agree or disagree. 877-528-TALK. One of those callers that's been hanging on a long time is Nathan. Nathan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and I just want to thank you for having this debate at all. This debate isn't taking place anywhere else in the nation, and I'm proud to be a citizen of San Diego today and have this on my radio as a topic that I can actually talk about.
Thank you, Nathan. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the opposite stance. I don't necessarily agree with your stance, but I do think that your points have been valid and that you've illustrated them and articulated them quite well. I did want to draw a parallel that I don't think anyone has pointed out yet between the new election of Hamas in Palestine and our own government of the United States when we originally came into power. When we came into power, we started a resistance movement. Our founding fathers organized peaceful protests like the Boston Tea Party, and when those were ineffective to the British, in order to secure our land for our own national interests, we went to war. And generally, the perceived outcome of war is the destruction of one's enemies. Now, understandably, we can't go to England, or we couldn't have back then, to destroy England completely. But the point was the same, and the fight of the war was fought with the same heart for America's freedoms and democracy as has been done in through Hamas. They are the founding fathers of Palestine, and I truly believe that they should be allowed to be given the opportunity to shift their tactics once again from war towards a political movement that they've now been.
Well, Nathan,
almost unanimously.
I tell you this. I appreciate your call very much. I hope you call in again. I disagree with your analogy, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
One reason is I don't think George Washington ever called for the complete destruction of Great Britain. If he did, I didn't hear it. What he called
was
removing British troops from the United States. And the Palestinian Authority has called for making Israel leave all of the West Bank and Gaza. So in that sense, that's a closer analogy. Hamas is different, though. And George Washington also, to my knowledge, never went and bombed British schoolhouses, never went and purposely attacked civilian targets. Hamas does. Hamas sends suicide bombers into disco halls.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to point out the fact that Hamas has taken the past year off from their military campaigns and has committed to a ceasefire, and I think we should recognize that as a nation.
That's partly true. They did do a ceasefire, then they attacked Israel again, and Israel responded. If Hamas offers a ceasefire, Israel would be a fool not to take it. There's no question.
Absolutely.
Israel should take a ceasefire. And as I said with, I think it was Angela I was talking with before, I'm not advocating Israel go and invade the Palestinian territories. Frankly, even Benjamin Netanyahu, the most right wing of the Israelis, he's not advocating that either. What I'm saying is that you build the security fence and you say, we will see if you will give us peace. Now, Hamas is committed to war, and so I don't think you can, I don't think it's trust now, verify later. I think the answer is you take someone at their word, and when they say they're out to destroy you. So Israel should...
I just want to point out just one other thing, that Hamas has sort of started to give their word through an interview that was exclusive to Newsweek that Christopher Dickey of the Paris Bureau pointed out recently, that the Egyptian Prime Minister, Nazif, has been acting in a capacity as moderator between Israel and Palestine, specifically Hamas, for the past several years, and has offered to continue to do so. Hamas has taken that offer, and I hope to see them run with it, because I think Egypt is in a position to be that moderator.
There's nothing I would like to see more than to see Hamas moderate its position, turn inward, instead of attacking Israel, turn inward, help the Palestinian people with schools and sewers and social programs and jobs. There's nothing I'd like to see more. Frankly, I think Hamas itself is surprised by how well it did in the election, and it's going to be interesting to see if they turn to governing. And if they do, and if there is a ceasefire that lasts, let's say, a year, and there are no attacks into Israel, then I'm going to say Israel should negotiate. But at the moment...
I agree with you on that point, and I hope that it does come to that, Mark.
I certainly do, too.
I think the best way to bring it to that is for us to encourage those sorts of negotiations as a nation.
Well, I certainly do, too. But what I don't believe is that you begin negotiating with someone who says they're dedicated to destroy you. Let Israel hold back. Don't negotiate. Say, you're on your own. Let's see how you do. And if you don't attack us, But here's the thing. If Hamas truly wants coexistence, if the Palestinians truly want coexistence, then they need to say, all right, we disagree on where the boundaries should be, but Israel, you have a right to exist. You've recognized our right to exist as a state. You have a right to exist as well. And until they come to that, I don't know, existential thing, to use a play on words, until they understand that Israel has a right to be, I just don't know that there'll ever be peace, and that's okay with me. A ceasefire...
And I look forward to hearing that statement from Hamas.
I hope so, too. I think, frankly, the best Israel can hope for is a ceasefire, like the ceasefire line between South Korea and North Korea. They don't have peace, folks. They have the old ceasefire line from 1953. I think that's the best Israel can hope for right now. And hopefully, after time, the Palestinians will come to realize that they can get more with honey than with a stick. Israel offered them 94% of their territory. And they can get it again, I think, if they will eventually elect leaders that are committed both to the Palestinians, no corruption, and also committed to living in peace with Israel. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK. Thank you for your call, Nathan. Got Philip coming up right after the break, and your calls at 877-528-TALK right after this.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-297-7907. 800-297-7907. That's 800-297-7907.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. It's been a very quick 2 hours. I really appreciate all your calls. When conservatives talk about the war on terror, they act like it's a video game. They act like there's a certain fixed number of terrorists, you know, 2,426, and every time we kill one, there's one less. And if we just kill them all, we win the video game, game over, and we get the high score. Of course, it's not like that. Because of our actions in Iraq, because we undertook to attack a country that never attacked us, more and more people have joined the anti-American fight. So in essence, we end up with more terrorism than we had before. But then again, there's some on the left that say, in essence, all the Iraqis are freedom fighters, that Osama bin Laden, in fact, was just trying to get U.S. troops out of Saudi Arabia, which is true, by the way. And therefore, we should look the other way at the fact that they murdered thousands of American citizens, negotiate with them, and try to win their hearts and minds that way. I don't think there are too many people that say that, but there are some. To them, I disagree as well. While I don't think we should needlessly attack countries that have never attacked us, like Iraq, at the same time, we have to stand firm. And when countries do attack us, particularly when they attack civilian targets, we have to fight back and fight back hard. And I believe, folks, you may think I'm inconsistent, but I think my position on Israel is exactly the same as my position in the United States. If they are attacked, they have a right to respond and to respond with force. They shouldn't take preemptive actions. But at the same time, when the Palestinians elect a government, freely elect a government dedicated to Israel's destruction, Israel needs to just wait. Sit it out, wait, don't deal with that government, and the Palestinians decide that they indeed want peace. They want a peaceful state. The last caller of the 2 hours, Philip San Diego. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Let me get right to the chase about Hamas.
I'm going to get right to the chase about Hamas taking control and authority over the government of Palestine and dedicated to the overthrow of Israel. Here's what Hamas terrorist leader of Gaza had to say just the other day. He said, "We are never going to recognize Israel." That's a Gaza Palestinian jihadist terrorist Hamas leader, Mahmoud Zahar. Now, let's get serious about this.
Yeah.
The U.S. should immediately lead the boycott and break off all diplomatic contact with the Palestinian Hamas government and seek to overthrow the government. Look, this is exactly what happened in Germany in the 30s with Hitler. If we cannot see the writing on the wall, then we have committed a moral travesty to the world. I think we should go forward with one clear objective: take out Hamas.
I'll tell you, Philip, actually, you go too far on the other. I've been criticized from the left. Now, I'll tell you this. I agree with you that Hamas is unlikely to change its stripes. All the people that called in saying, hoping they would, hey, I hope they would too. But, hey, sometimes you have to see what people say. You're absolutely right. They don't indicate they're going to change their stripes. I don't think they are. I hope they will, but I don't think they are. But at the same time, I wouldn't advocate taking them out, at least not yet. I think Israel should try economic sanctions. Same thing, by the way, I argue with Iraq. Economic sanctions, they should definitely build a security fence. And if Hamas attacks Israel, absolutely respond in force and take them out. But I don't think Israel should take the first step. The Palestinians have elected Hamas. As much as I don't trust them, like you, I don't think Israel should take the first step and actually declare war on them. Let Hamas take the first step, and if they attack, then absolutely respond with force. What do you think?
Look, Hamas claimed responsibility for most of the